Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Swami Nityananda. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify. Swami, what was life like for you growing up as a kid? Oftentimes, when someone is being so helpful and valuable in their adult lives, and they make it a part of their mission, it's always a backstory or reason for. What was life like for you as a kid?
Oh, that is such a great question, and also such an astute and moving observation. So I grew up in Washington State. I grew up in the northeastern corner of the state. It's a very rural area, and I was surrounded by a lot of nature. So I was surrounded by just an awareness from a very early age of my connectedness and the connectedness of all humans with the natural world. And so that's actually like my first memories, is just being aware that human bodies and the natural world, they're part of the same field of energy and of consciousness. And so I would say that's just been part of what's always inspired me and moved me my whole life.
And you mentioned that we are all connected. We are all connected in the energy field, or how are we connected?
Oh, good question as well. So I mean, I would love to bounce off of you, your observations as well, but I would say in every way, like I would say that in the energy field, absolutely. But I would say that, I mean, I was listening to your podcasts and your interviews and enjoying your energy and your dedication and your curiosity and your insights so much. And so that comes across from you, even though right now, this is my first time speaking to you face to face, but that quality of your character just comes across like very clearly and directly. So I think like a thing like a podcast relies on that. Like your energy and spirit is sharing all the time, every time you talk with a guest. And so I would actually say this is true for every human, everywhere that we go. Like we could just be riding the bus or on the train, or we could be in the grocery store. We also could be like in a high powered business meeting. And our energy, it's shared in our words, certainly, but it's also shared in how we are in our bodies and in how we are in our heart and how we are in our mind and how we are in our spirit. And so, I mean, it's sort of like almost like the breath of life, like it breathes all of us and we're all super connected. I mean, like in a kind of less lovely way in Baltimore, which is where I am right now. Yesterday, the air was hazardous because of the wildfires in Canada. And that's another example of just like physically, we're also very, very connected as well.
True. What can someone begin doing now who is, they don't feel peace within themselves and they're in disharmony? Yeah. And they want to be in a better space internally. What can they begin doing to change the tide?
Yeah. So, I mean, respect for that person. And just for that person who's listening, like if you are not feeling like you're in your sweet spot at this particular moment, respect to you. And there's nothing wrong with you. If you're having that feeling, you're having a human feeling. It's a very natural feeling to feel that sort of distraction or fear or anxiety or disconnect, which humans can experience. And so just to honor yourself and to even just give yourself credit for the self-awareness of just noticing and naming, oh, I'm not feeling very connected right now. And I would love to come back into a feeling of connectedness. So one of the things that yogis say and that meditators say is that it's possible to train our brains to feel moment to moment connected and calm and peaceful. And yogis actually say that's our true natural state of awareness. And so our human cultures have given us a lot of invitations to forget our natural state of connectedness. So we have lots of invitations to be distracted or anxious, but each of us has also the capacity to remember our own wholeness and to be clarity and to be calm and to be peace. And we give that gift to ourselves. So we actually feel calm, peace, and clarity in our own bodies, our own emotions. And then we're able to be calm and peace in relation to other humans as well. So it's a self-giving gift, but it's also a gift we give everyone else we encounter.
Wow, that's beautifully stated. It's we don't search on the outside, but it's on the inside. So everything we need is already in our lives, merely awaiting our recognition of it.
You are so right. Yeah. And I was loving, so earlier I saw something from you where you described meditation as becoming one with ourselves, being one with ourselves. And I just wanted to whoop with joy. So I love that description because that's exactly what you said. So for example, I think, so I also just want to acknowledge and name with great respect and caring that humans experience pain as part of being a human. And so if you have that feeling of pain, being able to turn within yourself and to be present with your own feeling of pain allows you to connect. There's an even deeper unconditional love that's even deeper than the pain. And so that unconditional love and that feeling of connection and strength, it is actually already within you. And it gives you the courage to be able to sit with and to transform by sitting with, by being with the pain that you might feel. And then that also, as we're able to be with our own pain, gives us the ability to be more calm and steady and centered and balanced and filled with good humor and insight if we're encountering another human who's experiencing pain as well.
So we don't have to run from where we are presently, even if it's an uncomfortable space.
We can turn within, as you said, and we can move through the discomfort. So I also just want to say, like, that's a really honest and courageous way to put it. We're not running away from discomfort. We're moving through it compassionately and with courage. And then that allows us to be in that. There's like a fullness of the present moment. There's like an access to insight and inspiration that will come to us that's beyond what my individual self would be able to come up with. And so I'm just so grateful for that. And then also we do gain that ability to be more lighthearted, not like in a disrespectful or frivolous way, but in a way that sort of is like, okay, you know, this started this wave of discomfort, which means it will also subside. And also we can be present to our own awareness that waves of discomfort have arisen before. We're still here. So we're going to be okay. We're going to be able to move through this also.
True. What is non-dual awareness?
So non-dual awareness, the way that you put it in reference to meditation is an example of non-dual awareness. You said it's becoming one with ourselves. And so the idea of letting go of fragmentation and remembering there is actually already wholeness here, letting go of a feeling of separateness and realizing, oh, connectedness is actually here within me. And then when I connect within myself, I'll notice in time and space, like in my relationships, in my contacts, in my clients, in whatever my field of work is, I'll notice connections just coming into view naturally when I'm moving in that awareness of connection within myself. And so it's also just kind of like that ability. Another thing you said that I really loved was you were talking about imagination and how dynamic and creative imagination is. And we each, it's part of our amazing, like innate talents as humans, focus on what you would love. So love yourself if you've been catastrophizing. But instead of doing that, shift your focus and focus on what you would love and focus on how would it feel to feel your way into the energy of what you would love to create, what you would love to help focus on. And you can feel the difference, like in your body, you can feel your heart rate lower, you can feel your breath become calmer and steadier. You can feel sort of like, you know how we have the ability to carry tension on our shoulders or our neck? You can just feel that kind of soften and relax. Yeah. And then we're back in that energy of like playfulness and inspiration and wonder, and like that's where amazing ideas come from, not from a feeling that we have to kind of like force it out of ourselves, like squeeze it out of ourselves, like we're a too tight, used up toothpaste tube, you know.
yeah, you're right. It's something we should abide in, that state of playfulness, like you described. It should be within us at all times. You know, we don't have to be burdened, you know, feel that burden in our bodies. I think that's so important, because as a kid, it's just a natural thing to be playful and lighthearted. But when often we become adults, we take on the cares and the different responsibilities, and it's how we view it. It's not the responsibility in itself, but it's how we view it and respond to it that causes this heaviness and this just drudgery for ourselves.
I love what you just said. And as I was listening, I was thinking to myself, so one of the cues that a listener might use, because I completely agree with what you said about the joy and the wonder and the awe, the curiosity, the play, and how that energy, that spirit can be with us. We can dutifully, and not only dutifully, but also like joyfully and willingly fulfill our tasks and our responsibilities and our obligations, coming from this sense of like spaciousness and clarity and gladness within ourselves. And one of the cues that I was going to invite listeners to tune into is, if you've had that feeling of like tightness or heaviness around your neck or your shoulders, your body can actually be giving you a signal that you're thinking you're carrying something that it's not actually possible to carry humanly. And so I can give an example, like a friend has a sister who received a health diagnosis, and the friend was just feeling really, really stressed. And she realized she was carrying the weight of the diagnosis, like physically in her body. And as soon as she realized, I'm actually going to be more present for my sister if I give this, whatever your word for it be, like to the divine or to the light or to the universe or to the energy of wholeness or life itself, whatever your word for it is, give it to that which is larger than yourself, because humanly, you actually cannot carry it. And your body is giving you a signal. If your shoulders and your arms are feeling kind of tight and cramped up, it might be a signal that there's something that you can give to the light. And I want to be really clear, I'm not saying to not be present. Instead, this helps you be present. This helps you be more present to your sister. And that's just an example that I'm giving. And this helps you be more present, like whatever way you're helping your sister, if you're helping your sister go to appointments or take care of tasks or kids or family things, or you're just able to help your sister connect with insight and lightheartedness and laughter, which everybody needs in the midst of every human experience. So that would just be that cue to pay attention to your neck and your shoulders and ask, can I give to the light or to the divine, to the universe, whatever your word, something that I feel I've been carrying that's actually not possible for me to carry? And that will allow me to be more present and more responsive, more aware.
Oh, yes. When you said that, I thought of something. I remember, I want to say it was possibly in the 90s, Christopher Reeves, he's an actor, and he played Superman. And I believe he injured himself when he was riding a horse. And he fell off the horse and he became paralyzed. And his wife was this caretaker. She never left him. And she was a beautiful woman when you look at her. But over the years, you can see how physically she changed, because I believe she took on what was going on with him. And not long after he passed away, it was years, but when he passed away, she did as well, because we can take on the burden and we can think we're helping that person, but we do more help when we're in the present moment, and we can help other people. We can, because you said we're all connected, we can be in such a peaceful and calming and healing state, and seeing and feeling that person healthy, and we can help them that way. But when we feel like we're taking on the burden, we'll be able to see it in our bodies, and it can affect us in our physical bodies.
That's a really vivid and important example. So I'm remembering something. My meditation teacher was named Swami Shankarananda. He was the founder of our meditation community in Baltimore, Maryland, Awake Yoga Meditation. And one of the things that he says, and I think, so what you're observing, like I would actually say all humans are empathic, like all humans have to a certain degree an awareness of, you know, like what other people are feeling, and you can walk into a room and kind of get a take on what has been going on in that room. Like sometimes it's really positive and joyful, and sometimes you're like, "Woof!" Like there's been some kind of conflict here, a little bit of a rumble was going on here, and that's true, like for all humans. So just what you're saying is so important. And one of the things my teacher said was to move from empathy to compassion. And the way that you can tell this is compassion is focused on solutions, and compassion is sort of like this combination of love and wisdom, whereas empathy can make you feel as if you're the lifeguard who's being pulled down under the water. And to serve as a lifeguard, it's really important that you keep your head above water. And that's what helps you be able to help many, many more people.
Yes, true. And that goes to my next question. Who has been one of the most influential people in your life?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, okay, so shout out to my mom. I mean, my mom is just an amazing being. And she is just one of those people who lives kindness and is just so hopeful and so helpful and always helping everybody she encounters. And so shout out to my mom. And she's still here. Like yogis say that if you're here in the physical, that you're in the body. So she's still here in time and space in the body. And I'm so grateful for that. And then also just so much gratitude and respect. My meditation teacher, Swami Shankarananda, was a huge catalyst and a huge influence on my life. And he really lived, like I was just talking about, that energy of compassion. So just like radiance and wisdom and insight and inspiration and that sort of playfulness and the ability to keep going, like the ability to keep going, being of service no matter what. And an example of that was he kept going, like he had a health condition that ultimately he passed from, or he left the body in relation to that health condition. And he gave a meditation talk 2 weeks prior to leaving the body. So he was just here to be of service and to share as much inspiration and kindness as he possibly could.
Wow. Yeah. That's great to hear that he was able to, you know, leave a lot with you and others as well. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a total inspiration. And so I've been also working on this book by him. So it's 560 pages. We're bringing it out later this year. And it's just these incredible teachings from him. And one of the things that he says, which made me think of you, was he talks about imagineering. And he says, imagineering is like this exercise of limitless creative imagination. And you bring like your energy into it and you enliven what you would love to realize. And he talks about you just enjoy this process and you feel your way into what it is that you would love to help create in time and space. And so that's an example of how, like, if you're feeling your way into that desire to be hopeful and desire to be helpful and share as much kindness and wisdom as you possibly can, that energy will always help you. It will help you step by step, just choice by choice, moment by moment. You'll receive guidance from within. You'll have clarity from within.
Wow, that's beautiful. Can you recall a time during your meditation that you felt something like shift, like you knew something happened that you possibly were meditating about or anything?
Oh, that's a super good question. I mean, I actually would say in meditation, one of the great gifts is shifts like that happen almost all the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, because one of the things that happens is when you meditate, so I'll just give an example. I think probably most listeners have a to-do list that is longer than can be done, right? Like, I just want a name. That's the kind of culture that we've constructed. I'm part of that culture. I'm here. I'm part of that culture. I also have that to-do list. And so what meditation does is it helps you turn within and be still and enjoy the realization that we are actually human beings before we are human doings. And when you realize that, when you realize, oh, I'm a human being, what happens then? All of a sudden, there's almost like this expansiveness that comes, and also a clarity and a sense of priorities. And so you'll have a sense of like, okay, so these are the top three things for me to do right now. And then you'll also just understand, you know, how to do it with a greater sense of spaciousness and freedom and ease. So I would say that's one of the very immediate gifts that meditation can give. And it's very practical. Yeah. And because I think like in every human life, every day, that's a useful technique to be able to sort of turn within and connect with that feeling of quiet. And then also, as soon as you connect with that feeling of quiet, you really will have a greater sense of freedom and a greater sense of joy and that sense of lightness in the midst of being. I mean, no one is telling you not to be responsible. Please be responsible.
True.
But if you can bring that sense of humor and generosity and willingness into being responsible, all of a sudden it really shifts the energy. So instead of like doing something out of kind of like a drudgery feeling, all of a sudden you're like, well, how much fun can we have doing this? And it actually can change the energy. Like if you're in a room and you've got like some task at work that involves a lot of labor, for example, if you enter with this spirit of joy and curiosity, it can change the experience for the whole team. And so it's really a benefit that it sort of like if you meditate however many minutes, 5 minutes in the morning, you will more than get that 5 minutes back the rest of your day. If you meditate 10 minutes in the morning, you will more than get that 10 minutes back in the rest of the day. So it just gives you like calm and energy and clarity and focus.
True. That is absolutely true. And it seems like when you're in that state you're supposed to be in, really, time slows down. It seems like you get more accomplished because you're not constrained or so much constrained and aware of the actual time here. You move beyond.
Isn't that so fascinating? I agree with you completely. Yeah. The being fully present. And I think, I mean, as you were talking, tell me what you think about this, but I was thinking, I think a lot of times what we do, we take ourselves out of the full presence and all that we can accomplish, like with such focus and also just like a joy and a quality that is amazing. Like it's unmistakable. If that joy and that quality of attention and awareness are there within you, you feel it, you know it. Other people feel it and know it too. But often I think what humans do is we kind of catapult ourselves out of the present by focusing on the past or focusing on the future. And that sort of like scatters our attention. So what we're trying to do is bring the full beam of our attention into the present moment. And even that image, I think, can be helpful as well. Just like I choose to take the full beam of my attention into the fullness of this moment. And just notice how much fun that is.
True. And your book, Awake, the Yoga of Pure Awareness, you released last year. You've been getting some good reviews on that book. I'm sure it's helping a lot of people.
I'm so thankful. I mean, it was just an absolute joy, the process of sharing the book. And so the book has a lot of entry points and everyday examples, like we've been talking about during our conversation here. But just if you want to shift your attention, if you want to shift your focus, if you want to shift your awareness, people have said that they can sort of pick up the book and even like open it at random and find something that they've found really, really helpful. So there's meditations, there's teachings, there's real life stories of ordinary humans who are living the examples of what we're talking about.
How can people get in contact with you if they wanted to work with you?
So I'm I teach at a meditation community called Awake Yoga Meditation in Baltimore, Maryland. And one of the things just to say to everyone is, if you're interested in meditation, like, you could be a longtime meditator, but you could also be brand new, we welcome you to meditate with us. So we meditate Sundays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, and they're all accessible online. So wherever you are, Sundays, we're also in person. So if you're anywhere near to Baltimore, Maryland, come join us in person. There's nothing quite like being with other amazing humans in physical space meditating. It's really incredible. But we also share teachings on our website, awakeyogameditation.org. And there are books at our website, awakeyogameditation.org. We also have e-courses if anyone's interested in that. And we share teachings on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok as well. So we'd really love to hear from you and everyone, you know, all backgrounds, brand new meditators, everyone's welcome. Come meditate with us.
What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
I think one of the things that I would just say to every listener is to trust the pure energy of the light within you. So every human is connected to this energy of pure light, and it gives guidance, it gives support, it gives inspiration. And as you connect with this pure energy of light within you, you can turn within, and even with an intention, even with a single breath, even by meditating, you can connect with this pure light. And then guidance will be with you. Step by step, you will be able to move forward in strength. You will be able to move forward in joy. You will be able to move forward in wisdom. You will be able to move forward in kindness. And this is the way that we lift ourselves. We lift our own energy and vibration. And as we were talking about at the very outset, anytime we lift our own energy and vibration, we're also giving that gift to everyone that we encounter and giving other people that we encounter an opportunity to be that energy of kindness, that energy of insight, that energy of presence and focus and clarity and inspiration. And so thanks, because to all the listeners, I know you are doing that, and it really does make a difference.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.